Thanks. We love you so much. Thank you. We love you so much. Thank you. Great audience.
Mulatu Astatke on stage as part of the 2012 London Jazz Festival and recorded for World Roots last weekend. World Roots was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by Peter Meanwell. Well, next week, as Lucy mentioned, she'll be in the studio with Malian musician Sidi Touré. Details, as ever, on the Radio 3 website.
The season of Advent is just around the corner, with the annual Advent Carol service on BBC Radio 3 and people across the UK opening the doors of their Advent calendars. On Radio 3 Breakfast, we want you to decide what lies behind the door each day during Advent. Winter music, Advent music, music sacred or secular, maybe the odd reading or poem. Let us know what you'd like to hear. Email 3breakfast@bbc.co.uk.
BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio. You can also listen to us live online. It's a minute past 11 o'clock and time now for Jazz Lineup.
Hello, I'm Julian Joseph and welcome to a very special edition of Jazz Lineup, coming from the BBC's Maida Vale studios as part of this year's London Jazz Festival. The festival's been running for 20 years and 2012 marks the 12th year of its association with BBC Radio 3. On today's programme, we celebrate the work of a musician whose importance to British jazz is immeasurable. Part of a strong contingent of London-based musicians from the 1960s, he's worked hard to raise the consciousness of jazz music through composition and education. Our tribute today brings his luscious music to the fore in the hands of musical director Jeff Warren. Graham Collier was born in Tynemouth, Northumberland, in 1937. When he finished school in the mid-50s, he joined the British Army as a musician, where he played trumpet and later bass, serving in Hong Kong for 3 years. He attended the famed Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts, graduating in 1963 with the distinction of being the first British student to do so. He toured briefly with the Jimmy Dorsey Band when he graduated and then returned to the UK. In London, he set to creating bands that would play his original music and would become a haven for development amongst British jazz talent. The talent in his bands included Harry Beckett, Jeff Castle, Mike Gibbs, Carl Jenkins, Dick Pierce, John Sermon, Art Thiemann, and Kenny Wheeler. Later on, Ian Ballamy, Eddie Parker, Django Bates inhabited his band, which eventually led to the emergence of Loose Tubes in the 80s. Collier was the architect of comprehensive jazz courses, which in 1987 culminated in the jazz degree course at the Royal Academy of Music in London. The majority of Britain's elite music conservatories offer a jazz degree program, thanks to Graham Collier's pioneering work, drive, and forthrightness. So tonight we celebrate the music of this British band leader, educator, and remember Graham Collier as a key member of a seminal generation of British jazz composers that emerged in the 1960s. His creative spirit never waned and continued on until his untimely death in 2011. This special tribute concert will feature members of the BBC Big Band with special guest musicians from among Graham Collier's closest associates, including musical director Jeff Warren. 2012 would have marked his 75th birthday, and tonight's performance, recorded at the BBC Maida Vale Studios, features the British premiere of Graham's penultimate work, The Blue Suite, as well as a selection of his and the musicians' personal favourites from the Collier canon. Here are the members of tonight's band. They are on trumpets, Martin Shaw, Mike Lovett, Steve Waterman. On trombone, Gordon Campbell. On French horn, Jonathan Williams. On tuba, we've got Andy Grappi. On saxophones and reeds, we've got Andy Panay. We've got Graham Blevins, Art Thiemann, and Julian Siegel. On drums, we have John Marshall. On the bass, Roy Babington. On piano and synthesizers, Roger Dean. On electric guitar, Ed Spate. And please give a very warm welcome to tonight's musical director, Jeff Warren. Tonight's performance will be in two halves. Later on, we'll hear a wide range of Graham's music selected from the Collier canon. But to start off our musical tribute tonight, to one of the UK's most precious and productive composers, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the British premiere of Graham Collier's penultimate work, The Blue Suite.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Absolutely. That was Graham Collier's The Blues Suite, with titles and music alluding to the timeless masterpiece that is the seminal album of Miles Davis from 1959, Kind of Blue, a strong ethereal piece of music containing the hallmarks of Graham Collier's musical approach that allows for freedom and the opportunity to alter a composition's complexion vastly on every performance. The five movements of The Blues Suite included Kind of Sketchy, Kind of So What, Kind of Freddy, Kind of Green, and All Kinds. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online, and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. I'm Julian Joseph, and we're broadcasting from the BBC's Maida Vale studios as part of this year's London Jazz Festival. Graham's compositions and approach to music has been a great source of joy and inspiration to many music fans and musicians. From March 1969, from the Graham Collier album Down Another Road, this recording was re-released in 2002 by DJ Giles Peterson, bringing Graham's music to a new generation of music lovers. We'll also hear tributes from some of those who've been moved by Graham's music and outlook, starting with Giles Peterson himself.
When I first heard Down Another Road and Deep Dark Blue Center, those two records particularly for me, they introduced me to this incredible arranger and composer and musician, very much foundation of a new part of British jazz, which kind of got lost a little bit. And when I heard those particular albums, I couldn't believe that they'd been made in the UK, and it kind of opened up a whole doorway to so much more music from Don Rendell and Ian Carr and Michael Garrick, and he was at the very forefront of that movement from the UK. So, yeah, rest in peace, Graham Collier, and thank you so much for all the music you've given us and all the inspiration.
My name's John Marshall. I'm playing drums on the concert this evening. I joined Graham's band a very long time ago in the 60s, mid-60s. It was obvious that he liked Charlie Mingus and I did. And it was first time I'd encountered scores which were both written and open. So they were structured, but with free-ish improvisation within. And I found myself in a very comfortable place with it. The other thing he's always done is he's developed opportunities for the music in areas which hadn't even been used before. I mean, he kind of relished taking, you know, the establishment on, which he always did.
I'm Roger Dean. I play piano and computer. I think one of the most important and interesting things about Graham was the particular transition he made in the way that you can compose for jazz ensemble, and I'm thinking particularly of the album called New Conditions, because it found a middle way between quite complex dissonance, use of complicated harmonic structures, and the conventional mainstream of modern jazz of the time. And it was a kind of intermediary between the free improvising compositional approaches, say, of Barry Guy, Global Unity, and so on, and those of a mainstream jazz orchestra, say, the John Dankworth Orchestra. But I think he did something very special there.
It's Art Thiemann here. One of my memories of Graham Collier was that being a consummate organiser, he managed to take an entire big band to India. One of the things I remember about this trip was going to Calcutta, where we stayed close to the Howrah Bridge, which is a bridge over the Ganges. And one of the astonishing things I learned was that people are born and actually die on the Howrah Bridge without leaving it. But nevertheless, you walk over the bridge and everybody's got smiling faces. It was an incredible experience.
My name is Graham Blevins. I play tenor saxophone and soprano saxophone. I first met Graham in Perth, Australia, must be 1998. And he was sort of really inspirational to a lot of people, all the places that he took his music, opening people's eyes, I think, to different ways of interpreting written and improvised music wherever his music went.
My name's Steve Waterman. I play trumpet and flugelhorn tonight. I've known Graham for about 30 years, and I think he was a massive influence on my own improvising. And we went through many sort of bands, the band that eventually became Loose Tubes, I was a part of that. And consequently, you know, playing with John Marshall, Jeff Warren, Roger Dean. So it's been absolutely fantastic to be reunited with those guys and play with them again.
I'm Roy Babington, a bass player. I think Graham would have enjoyed it tonight. You know, Graham was an experimenter. At the time, I mean, we would play the parts, but we didn't really understand the inner workings that are obviously there when you get a fine band like we had tonight. And, well, I can only sing the praises. Well, everybody. I was going to say particularly the trumpets, because I happen to love Mahler. And in Mahler 2, there's a wonderful sound of the trumpets that sounds like church bells coming over the hill. And I heard that in Graham's music.
Graham Collier on bass with Lullaby for a Lonely Child, recorded in London in 1969 and taken from his album Down Another Road, and a host of tributes from just some of the people that have found inspiration in Collier's music. Well, time for more music celebrating Graham's musical legacy with members of the BBC Big Band and guest musicians who worked very closely with him. The band begin the second part of the concert at full strength with a favourite from 1975, remixed by DJs and hip-hop artists. This is Under the Pier.
Thank you.
That was a piece called Tinted Autumn, and that featured Steve Waterman. Before that, we heard Hackney 5, and that featured solos from Julian Siegel on bass clarinet, Martin Shaw on the flugelhorn. It was brought to a wonderful conclusion there on the soprano of Graham Blevins. And before that, we heard Under the Pier, which featured a wonderful trombone solo from Gordon Campbell. Please give them all a round of applause. I should also say that Under the Pier featured a solo from Graham Blevins on tenor saxophone, Roger Dean on the piano, and Ed Spate on guitar. Well, it gives me immense pleasure now to turn to musical director Jeff Warren and gather some insights from him about Graham Collier's music and musical approach. It's very engaging work for the conductor, because the conductor is just as much a part of the improvisational process as any of the soloists and any of the
Graham
musicians.
Structured his pieces basically in order that the conductor is, well, he said, like painting with a palette of colours. And so I'm given a lot of responsibility, a lot of choices as to what happens where.
Sure. I mean, it's painting with musicians in real time. And, you know, you're constantly... You look at the score and you judge how the music is going, and you're hearing things, and you've got to respond immediately to that and shape it. I mean, just for the radio audience out there, watching Jeff, he's moving, he's digging, he's creating the time, he's doing hand signals, there's all sorts of things.
A hell of a lot of hand signals, yes. Every conductor these days has his own vocabulary. It's been 2 days they've been learning more or less to understand my gestures, which they're not universal, but you've seen them today, and roughly, then we know how to communicate now. Sometimes I get it wrong, and you know that's it. That's what happens. You know?
One of the things that I wanted to ask is, sometimes you put your fingers up and you've got, you know.
These are numbered cues, so the musicians have on their sheet maybe 4 or 5 different solutions, and I have to bring them in at the right time or decide not to bring them in at all. And just as you're thinking, Q2 would sound good here, something happens, and you change your mind. You know, so stop and think about it and try again. You know.
So just tell us a little bit about Graham Collier's musical process, how he puts a score together, and what is unique about that.
Graham's philosophy was to apply the normal freedoms that a jazz musician has improvising over chords to every parameter. So he decided to free up, in a certain sense, the structure, to free up every single aspect. He sort of wanted to do 360 degrees because he wanted to get out of the perfectly good format of tune solos on the sequence tune. He said, well, I want to go in other directions as well. I don't think, well, he never claimed to have said anything new. He never said that he invented anything, but he formulated and put it together and applied it.
It's great to witness and to experience. And I know that dealing with his music and your musical partnership with him goes back quite a few years. And in fact, that you've performed in this very spot.
It has to be said, my first broadcast ever, the first time I ever broadcast on radio, was from this studio. I got the chance to play with Graham in 79. Just out of university. In that half a dozen gigs, there was also a recording for, I think it was Sounds of Jazz, they used to call it, with Peter Clayton presenting, good old Peter Clayton. Yeah. And it was in this very studio with a 6-piece band, in which there was also Ed Spate on guitar and Roger Dean on keyboard. And this was my first ever broadcast from this studio 33 years ago.
Wow. How has Graham Collier's work and music and the man inspired and influenced you? And what do you think his legacy is?
Graham's was always an ideas man. So you could say, even if I don't like his tunes, I like his ideas. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've gone through periods when I think, I don't like his tunes, but hang on, that's a nice idea, I'll have that. You know. And then after a while, I come around thinking, well, it's also not a bad tune either. You know? So ideas and systems. I had the privilege, just 1 year, he needed a copier for his parts. In the days before computers, he asked me to copy a few scores. And that, for me, was like a free arranging lesson. Mm-hmm. You know, so I could actually got his scores and sort of written, he does it like that. You know, so I learned a hell of a lot and got paid for it, which wasn't bad. So lots of little techniques and ideas. Since this is a Radio 3 radio audience, my personal opinion, and Grant would probably have killed me for saying this, was that he was the Arnold Schoenberg of jazz, in that Schoenberg formulated a hell of a lot of ideas for modern music, but people tend to listen only to his earlier works.
Right.
And Grant's formulated a hell of a lot of stuff, but go on YouTube and you can find Aberdeen Angus and Barley Mo. The other stuff is there, but people don't tend to search it out. And it is worth looking into, because he didn't suddenly become a modernist. He didn't suddenly change. The same techniques go all the way. He's just developing them.
And before I allow the band to continue to enthrall us, I was talking to members of the group and talking about individual parts. And to call a part individual is almost a misnomer, misdirection, because there's more than one choice, isn't there?
Yeah, they're basically multi-purpose parts. He gives you a sort of abbreviated score. See, every musician in theory knows everything that's happening, and he has to know which is his responsibility, but he also sees what's going on as well. It's sort of shorthand. There's a lot of choices. Like, I give you a chord, play the note you feel would sound best on your instruments. So it's not anarchy, because he's also relying on the person's intelligence and taste. He knows these guys anyway. Yeah. So when he says play one of those three notes, he knows they'll probably choose the right one.
Thank you, Jeff Warren, and members of the BBC Big Band, and Graham Collier, guests, musicians. Please show them your appreciation. We'll be right back. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Aberdeen Angus from the pen of Graham Collier, bringing to conclusion our tribute to this important figure in British music, proving his absolute worthiness among the giants of British jazz. Next week's jazz lineup is presented by Kevin Legendre. More music recorded at this year's London Jazz Festival. Ian Ballamy's Anorak and Robert Mitchell's Panacea will be featured. And there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 tomorrow night with Jez Nelson. He's got music from pianist Yaron Herman and his quartet, also recorded at this year's London Jazz Festival. My thanks to Jeff Warren and all the great musicians on stage tonight. On trumpets, Martin Shaw, Mike Lovett, Steve Waterman. On trombone, Gordon Campbell. On French horn, Jonathan Williams. On tuba, Andy Grappi. On saxophones and reeds, Andy Panay, Graham Blevins, Art Thiemann, and Julian Siegel. On drums, John Marshall. On the bass, Roy Babington. On piano and synthesizers, Roger Dean. On electric guitar, Ed Spate. And tonight's musical director, Jeff Warren. From all of us here at BBC Maida Vale, it's a very good night.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3 and performances now from Zagreb in 2012 of a quartet of cantatas Martin, who wrote in the States in the 1950s towards the end of his life, that look back to his Czech roots. He gave them the overall title Songs of the Czech Highlands, and they make use of the quick rhythms of bohemian folk music and the raw edge of folk bands, recreating in a much simpler fashion the kind of atmosphere invoked with genius by Stravinsky in The Wedding. This first of Martinu's cantatas is the opening of the wells, the annual ritual of cleaning the wells in spring, so that after the clogging mud of winter, the pure spring water can flow again.
Thank you. nas tako. Najmilija će kraljevnom bit lako i ukrasi tvrč cvijećem koje rana vida. Za kraljevnom u povorci često djeveruše idu, traže mjesto. I za njih pak poskakuju kicoši bez stida. Pa svi uzmu motike i kuke, lopate i grablje sad u ruke. Djevojke pak svežanj prepun cvijeća. Dotjerana kraljevna u sredini šeta, čista ko jutro s 14 ljeta. Vjetar je ljubit krene, tolika mu je sreća. S njima htjede zaplesati. Sad ne vjetre, već put nam skrati do studenca tužnoga najviše. Vodi ih kroz cvijeće i travu. I on bi htio piti vodu plavu. Njima uz rame samo tiho diše. Polukružno okružiše vrelo, jedva diše i blatno je cijelo, pa u travu položiše motike, lopate i trijeske, kamen odvališe, vrutak ko mači presti stane. Kraljevnu i njega ostaviše same, kad je travom rasprostrla rubac bijeli, pa su se za ruke primili, oko njih dvoje kolona činili. Pjesmu svi su pjevati htjeli. Studenac ustima kraljevne odgovara. Gdje sve su blatne grude krile, zariše svoje lopate još dublje vile. Koliko je na dnu pretužnoga kala
I kanal koji nevene i jablane hrani, zemljom juri žustrije kao konji vrani, jer mu blato odnješe, a lopata je na stijeni stala. Iz blatnih voda blato sve brižno mu sputa daleko odnose. S lopate bace ga tu gdje sunce jako pali, pa postane nečist, čista zemlja koju sve što raste hvali.